You guys can start turning to Psalm 37 this morning. If you have your own Bible, that's great. If you have a Bible on your phone, that's awesome as well. If not, don't worry. We have the scriptures on the screen. They will be up there. And it's always good to have something that you can write in and when God speaks to you, and you always write in your own Bible so you can go back to it again later. And we're looking at Psalm 37 this morning, and it's a wonderful psalm, and it's good to read the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. When we read all of God's Word, it's good to see how God's got the same theme going throughout so much of the Bible. And the nice thing about psalms, especially with this one, which is one that David had wrote, and you get a glimpse into David's relationship with God, some of the things that he was thinking through as he was talking with God. How many of you guys know David? He went through some stuff. I'll say David did not have it all hunky-dory like sometimes we think. So often we think of the story of David and Goliath and the great victory that God did through David. We may think of how he danced before the Lord, how David was a man after God's old heart, but yet he spent a number of years on the run as well. First, he spent time hiding from Saul, the king of Israel at the time, where Saul was afraid that David would try to take over the king, or take over the kingdom of Israel. So he spent a number of years hiding in caves from him. Then, throughout his life, he spent even more time hiding from his son Absalom. His son was trying to take over the kingdom and get people to follow him instead of King David. Again, David went back to the caves to try to hide from him. So he went through a few things while he was here. He might have been questioning things. He might have been going, "Oh, what is going on here?" But we can learn a lot from David and his experiences. And then even more when we start reading what he wrote while he was going through these things. In Psalm 37, starting in verse 1, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." God is a God of calmness. Instantly, the first thing in this psalm that David writes is for us not to fret because of evildoers. How many times has God told us not to fear? We get worked up with things today as a society. We get worked up about finances, disease, violence, relationships, opinions. Right away, in this passage, though, I'm reminded of Romans 8 in the New Testament. In verse 38, where Paul says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. From the New Living Translation, it says, "And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow." Ooh, that's good. "Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord." There is no power of darkness that can separate us from God's love. There's no schemes of man that can interrupt what God has planned for us. There's no principalities at work that are able to overcome what God is able to do. We have God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Holy Spirit with us. Does that mean that things will go our way all the time? Of course not. Does it mean that we won't have troubles? Most of you who have been Christians for more than 2 days knows what that's like. So often we try to act like we aren't going to go through things. But those who aren't familiar with the Christian life, we need to be honest with them and let them know it doesn't have anything with us having a perfect life. It doesn't give us a life that if we believe, if we have faith, it'll be all peaches and cream. David had stuff not going his way, but he relied on God. For us, it means we may not have the answers, but we know the one who does. My life may not be perfect, but let me introduce you to the one who had a perfect life. He's right here. I take him everywhere I go. When I'm going through things, he's right here with me. I should be going nuts right now, but I have this Holy Spirit that comforts me. Sure, my truck may have just died, and I may have had to get towed home for the second time in 2 weeks, but hey, nothing's going to change the plans. And then I've got to change my plans and do something different. But I think, hey, he's got this. I might be going through things on the outside, but inside I'm singing, "Devil, get out of my way, because God's going to get my praise." Their time is numbered. Satan is the forever loser. Jesus has the victory. And because of my relationship with him, so do I. We have authority over the enemy. There's no reason we should fret. No reason we should envy what they have. God can provide even more than we expect. He could even take what they have and give it to us. With the kingdom of God, the enemy is living on borrowed finances. He's got borrowed time. He's got false authority. He's not operating in his own power. And eventually, it's going to run out. And then what the enemy has stored up, God will send us in to plunder. There's a story that I think of here from 2 Kings 7. And I'll give you a little backstory before we get to the scripture that we're going to read in it. But a great famine had came upon Israel. And as if the famine wasn't enough, Syria also had came to besiege Israel at the time. They went to besiege Samaria, which is the northern kingdom of Israel. And the famine was beginning to be too much for 4 lepers that are outside the city, outside the gates. And they decided they were going to take their chances. As outcasts, they were the last ones in line to be able to get some of the food that was available. They didn't have the money to be able to buy what they needed for the food, so they were getting desperate. They knew that if they stayed where they were, they would die. If they tried to go to the city, they would die. They got to a point where they just got fed up. They were going to go to the enemy's camp. They were going to go to the Syrians. At the time, their best case scenario they had played out in their head was, well, maybe they'll just take us captive and we'll be able to eat. That was their best case scenario they had. And worst case, well, at least maybe they'll kill us and we still won't be hungry. But God had a different plan here. See, God had provision planned not just for these four lepers, but also for the rest of the city at that time. So we're going to read in 2 Kings 7, verse 5, or starting in verse 5. And they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their suppose, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of the chariots and the noise of horses, the noise of a great army. So they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us. Therefore, they rose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact, their tents, their horses, their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. And when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent and ate and drank and carried from it silver and gold and clothing. And they went and hid them. Then they came back and entered another tent and carried some from there also and went and hid it. Then they said to one another, we are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, and we remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now, therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household. So they went and called to the gatekeepers of the city and told them, saying, we went to the Syrian camp, and surprisingly, no one was there. Not a human sound, only horses and donkeys tied, and the tents intact. And the gatekeepers called out, and they told it to the king's household inside. Skipping down to verse 14, therefore, they took two chariots with horses, and the king sent them in the direction of the Syrian army, saying, go and see. And they went after them to the Jordan. And indeed, all the road was full of garments and weapons, which the Syrians had thrown away in their haste. So the messengers returned and told the king. Then the people went out and plundered the tents of the Syrians. So a seah of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two seahs of barley a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. Just like we're talking about in Psalm 37, God will give us the spoils of the enemy. We just got to leave the results up to God. He might just take what they have and give it to us to be used for His glory and His purpose. Continuing in Psalm 37 there, verses 3, 4, and 5 give us more instructions that we can apply. In verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. David says to trust in God. Trust God for everything. Not just some things. Not just the things that you know you can't do yourself. No, trust in God for all things. This is where we get ourselves in trouble sometimes. Well, at least for myself. That's where I see I need to trust God more. Trust Him in even in the routine. Trust Him with the normal things. Don't take them for granted. Just go, yeah, I know how this works. No, we need God for in everything we do. If we're trying to do it on our own, even the small things become big issues. God has provisions for us at all times. God has us taken care of, but we need to be hearing His voice in it all. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. This is an important thing to trust God for. God may send us into places that we don't expect to go. For some people, it could be a foreign land that we're not familiar with. For some people, it could be a different job than we'd like. Others, it could be talking to your neighbors that you don't care for. But no matter where God sends you, trust in Him at all times. As Ashley said this morning, embrace the uncomfortable. When you trust in God, you don't put your trust in what surrounds you. You feed on His character. You don't just nibble on it either. You feast on God's faithfulness. God is faithful to answer His promises to you. He will not leave us or forsake us. He loves us too much for that. He has the best in mind for us. Remember, Jesus is the true shepherd. Shepherds feed their flock. God will feed us, both in the natural and in the spirit man. David continues in verse 4 saying, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart." Now, delight, I don't hear this word used very often anymore. Most of the time when I hear it is one of my new favorite desserts, cherry delight. But, delighting yourself, when you look up the definition of it, is to be pampered with. It's to be happy about. It's to make merry over. Yeah, I like to delight myself in the Lord then. We can delight ourselves in God. We can be happy about God. We can be pampered with God. We focus on God. We focus on who He is. We reflect on what He's done and what He will continue to do, because that's His nature. We set our minds and hearts on God. And when we do that, He will be all we want. He will be what we seek after. He will be the one that satisfies us. So many people in the world today are seeking after something. All they know is they're not content. They know that they're not happy. That there's got to be something out there. There's got to be something more. What they're doing just isn't cutting it. These people are ripe and ready. They're looking for that something. And we have the answer. They want it, but they just don't know what. And that thing just isn't any normal thing. It's the person of Jesus. He is who will be what satisfies them. He is what they are seeking after. So it only makes sense then when we seek God and we delight in Him that He gives us the desires of our heart. There's plenty of scripture in the New Testament that we see the same thought process. John 15 and verse 16. "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Our fruit and the love he has for us is the basis of what we ask for. In James 4:3, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Sometimes we get ourselves in the way when we ask. So we all have flesh in our bones. Sometimes we get ourselves in the way. But when we look at what we're asking for, James tells us here, he warns us that when we ask with the wrong motives, it directly parallels 37:4, Psalm 37:4. Because we haven't delighted ourselves in God. We added our own thing to it. We asked for what we wanted instead of, God, what are you wanting here? Sometimes we ask for ourselves, but often when we ask according to God, when we trust in God, when we delight in Him, our desires are His desires. It's a very powerful prayer that God answers. God, break my heart for what breaks yours. It's a very simple but powerful prayer. When we ask God to break our heart for what breaks His, for having our desires line up with His desires, for our will to line up with His will, we start to see things differently. We start to see things with grace and mercy and break off unforgiveness. We start to see that Jesus just as much died for the people that drive you nuts as he did for you specifically. God loves them too much. God loves people too much. Even people that you can't see how God could ever love. God loves them. Verse 5 continues, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Commit your way to the Lord. God is looking for full obedience. When we trust and delight in the Lord, we will understand to follow His leading. Some verses that go along with this. Proverbs 16:3. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Psalm 55:22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. There's a certain part of this that we have to realize that we have to do our part. God uses submitted vessels. He's looking for us to do what He's called us to do. He's given us each free will. He's given us each the ability to make our own decisions, our own choices. We have to listen and do our part for what He's called us to do. The first part of this says to commit our way, our works, our burdens, our cares. It doesn't say that He will come along and say, hey, give that to me. No, we have to be willing to give up what we're trying to hold on to. We have to be the one that says, hey, this is not mine to carry. This is not who I am. I do not need this. I need you to take it, God. When whatever we do flows out of our relationship and desires with God, the rest will become natural to us. When we trust in God, walking in obedience will become natural to us, doing what He's instructed us to do. When we hear Him speaking something to us, we walk it out. God is faithful. We can trust Him and to have come to pass when we step out in obedience. He doesn't prompt us to get out of our comfort zones without seeing us grow and His kingdom advance. In verse 7, David says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass." Resting in the Lord does not mean doing nothing. It's a time when renewing yourself, yet you're watching for what that next step is. When we're waiting on God, we're expecting Him to show up. We're relying on Him. We're humbling ourselves when we rest in the Lord, saying, "God, I trust Your timing." Saying, "God, we want Your will to be done, not ours." When we show that we're willing to wait and not take that next step until He tells us to. Even when we see other people starting to move, we wait on the Lord. We wait on the Lord until we hear from God that it's now, that it's our timing now. Sometimes you can get ahead of God, thinking that you're doing what God, what just something that sounds like a good idea to do. And then you realize that you're not following anymore. So you have to stop and back up, or stop and wait on God. And then you might be in an uncomfortable place where you're sitting waiting, going, "Now what?" So I know I've had it happen before. But we can't compare ourselves when others are doing something. We have to rely on our own walk with God, what we're hearing God saying. Continues in verse 8 saying, "Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm." We have flesh on our bones. We have to make sure that we don't fall into frustration here. We have to stop it before it ever takes root in us. We can take every thought into captivity. We can tell it to get under our feet. Fretting only causes harm. Worry or frustration doesn't gain anything. It really just hurts us more than we realize. Skipping to end of what we had read originally, "But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." Because of the sacrifice Jesus made at the cross and the power of the resurrection, we were grafted into the royal family. We have that inheritance available to us. What the enemy tries to tell us that we don't have to believe, we have it promised to us as our inheritance. The enemy's a liar. We don't have to listen to him. God wants us to prosper and have victory and authority today. We need to remain humble. And God honors his promises. We will, and here's that word again, delight ourselves in the abundance of his peace. We're happy about the peace that we have. We're pampered with the peace that Jesus gave us. Jesus said that he gave us his peace. We can see how faithful God is in answering those promises. All these things in the psalm point to our wonderful Savior, Jesus. Such a wonderful thing that he died for us. And he wants us to share our testimony with others around us as we walk in obedience. And so I just heard so strong that this psalm, and I heard this psalm for today. Such a wonderful thing we shouldn't overlook. I'll say, David, a lot of us can really relate to David. A lot of us can really relate to some of the things David was going through. Because we face things ourselves. And he wasn't quiet about how he shared it. I'll say, we barely even scratched on the surface of Psalm 37. I encourage everybody to read the rest of it this next week. I'll say, God continues to speak to you through everything. So I'll say, we'll go ahead and pray. So, well, Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the instructions that you gave David in the time that of his need, God. Lord, reveal yourself so strongly to us today, God. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the wonderful things that you have done in the past, God, for the wonderful things that you are still doing today, God. Lord, have your way in us. Lord, have your way in us, Lord. Lord, refine us. Change us, God. Help us to line up to what you say we are, God. Lord, we fully trust in you. We fully commit our works to you, God. Lord, you are our delight, Jesus. We focus on you. Lord, help us have your desires be our desires, God. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, God. We thank you. We praise you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.